Welcome back to Beauty Marks Podcast, a space where we embrace our marks acquired through our journey. My name is Elizabeth Savillon, and welcome to another episode of this podcast. We are now in November, and I cannot believe it because we are literally almost towards the end of the year and preparing for Christmas already, decorating for that. And these past few weeks, I have just been getting into the holiday mood. And if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave a review. All of that helps us to grow this podcast. I appreciate your guys' feedback on the last few episodes. When it comes to relationships with Maria Fernandez, we had a mental health counselor on, just sharing kind of the journey of healing and a little bit more when it comes to dating and relationships. And so always love to hear your guys' feedback, to hear what you guys are loving, and would love to hear what you guys want to hear more about. So on this week's episode, it is with a special guest. Her name is Brittany De La Mora, and she is a wife, mother, evangelist, author, and passionate advocate for women involved in the sex industry. So trigger warning, this episode does include talking about porn, the sex industry, and sexual abuse. And so that is something that we'll be going into. So I hope that this conversation doesn't bring shame to you. This is just to bring awareness of this. And I know that it is not just a guy's struggle. It is something that women can struggle with too, because God created us with sexual desire and all of that. And so I hope that you feel encouraged and that you're not alone in this conversation. So let's just get right into it. I am excited to have Brittany De La Mora, and she will be sharing her story. This episode is not to shame anybody. If anything, it's to bring encouragement and freedom to someone listening. And so thank you so much, Brittany, for being on the podcast.
Yes, thank you for having me.
I know that I found you on social media, and just hearing that you were in the sex industry, and you and your husband do a lot of work together in regards to porn, and just kind of talking about a topic that I feel like is very taboo in our culture. And so can you share like what you're passionate about, what brought you into the work that you do today?
Yeah. So my husband and I, we lead an organization called lovealwaysministries.com. And we are really on a mission to help people pursue purity. When you hear the word purity, oftentimes people think it's like, oh, no sex before marriage, or, you know, it's just for young people or single people. But when we say purity, we really take it like from a biblical point of view, which means to be uncontaminated. And so we're talking about like real heart issues here, because the Bible teaches us to guard your heart. You know, everything that you do flows from your heart. And so if your heart's impure, then you're just going to lead a lifestyle, and you're going to make decisions where you're going to look back and be like, how did I end up here? And that's kind of like what my story is. I didn't have a pure heart. I didn't grow up with the Lord. And I ended up in the adult film industry for 7 years of my life. I also was in prostitution. I had a pimp for 3.5 years, and I made some really bad decisions with my life. And I got to this place where it was like, I was so rock bottom. I had nowhere to look but up. And thankfully Jesus met me at my rock bottom and really turned my life around. And so we want to help other people who are struggling with pornography. We mostly help those who are struggling, like addicts or those who watch habitually that just want to stop watching. And then we also help performers. So there are people who are in the adult industry that want out, but they don't know how to transition out. And so we kind of like build the bridge for them, like just help them to cross over from one side of the life and into the next, because that's a really big challenge to like switch your whole life up when that's all you know. So that's what we're doing right now.
No, that's beautiful that you shared that, because your story, I feel like, is a really big redemption story of like actually you knowing how that life is and seeing how, you know, you're on the other side of healing and finding Jesus. So can you talk a little bit about kind of your experience within it? Were you raised knowing first about porn? Was that something that you saw as bad, or like was sexual, right? Like how people talk about like sexual positivity or being like seeing sex in a good way. How did you see that going into pornography?
Um, That's a really good question. I had a couple encounters with porn when I was a teenager. So my first one, we lived in like a condominium, and so you know there's a lot of people in the area, a lot of teenagers, and I remember a few of the guys taking us upstairs to their condo, me and a girlfriend of mine, and they put on a movie, and I'm just like jaw to the floor, and I'm so naive. I look to my friend and I'm like, you're not allowed to show penises and vaginas on TV. And she's like, shh, shh, it's a porno. And I'm like, what is a porno? Like, I was just like, what am I watching? Like, mortified. And so that was my very first experience. I want to say I was maybe 14, 13 or 14 years old. Didn't really watch back then. I somewhat watched a little bit of softcore porn here and there as a teenager. But it wasn't something where I was like, I want to be in porn. It just kind of like the course of my life just kind of led me there. So, you know, I started stripping in college, and then from there, a couple producers came in and said, we make romance movies. And so for me, it was kind of like, it wasn't even like about the money. It was more about the attention, because I didn't feel affirmed or validated by my family. And so I felt very rejected, and everything I did was from a place of like, will you accept me? Like, will you love me? Will you show me some attention? And so like I was making more money at the strip club than I was in porn. But when they came into the strip club, the producers, they told me, you're going to be a star. Like, we love you. And so it was that affirmation and that validation that was like, okay, like I'll try it. I'm already promiscuous. I'm already selling myself for money. So like, let's just take it one step further.
Yeah. No, and I think that is maybe something that people think of someone that has been in the industry. It's like, oh, they just, you know, it's for money or stuff like that. But like, it was definitely deeper, and you shared that. But from being in the industry, you know, did you see, because maybe someone that is watching, right, on the other side, they don't see what's really happening behind closed doors of what you experienced. So can you share a little bit about from your experience that came from like, okay, I'm going to be quote unquote famous or have a, you know, a status, you know, an affirmation, but like what was really happening behind closed doors?
Yeah. So when you first get into the industry, I mean, you're shooting for anyone and everyone, and some companies are very professional in that sense, and other companies are very like it's disgusting. Like you show up to the set and the couches are just stained, and it's like they didn't even clean up, like it's at a house and they didn't clean the house. And so it's like not even a sanitary set. And then because I was only 18 years old, what's very popular in the porn industry is like, you know, making young girls look younger. So they would put me in like jewelry that like my 4-year-old would wear, like not even a teenager, like a 4-year-old would wear these plastic jewelry, put you in pigtails, little schoolgirl outfits. And then they pair you with an old man, giving the illusion of pedophilia. And so that was the biggest issue that I had when I first got into the industry, where I got to the point where I said, hey, I can't do this anymore. I wasn't a woman of conviction back then, but that was one thing where I was like, do you guys realize what you're doing? And so I quit doing those types of scenes. But then, you know, I had, for example, in high school, I was in treatment for anorexia. And I'm like 5 feet, and I was like 105 pounds at the time. And a director tells me, you're so fat, you need to lose weight, you're disgusting. And I'm just like, what? Yeah. So then from there, I'm like, okay, well, I need to lose weight fast. So then I started using cocaine to lose weight. And then I just became a full blown drug addict. I have also seen women on set while doing like performing their scene that they just start crying. And the directors like look around awkwardly, like, the director will look to the producer, like, what do I do? Like, should I stop the scene? Like, and then the camera guy's looking around, like looking back, like, what do I do? Like, she's crying. And then they just keep rolling, hoping she's just going to figure it out. But she's crying because something traumatic is going on in her soul, and she's releasing it, and she's in pain. And so it's like, these are all the things that you don't see, because then comes the editing stages where all of that gets cut out. So you think, oh, everybody enjoys it, everybody loves what they do, but there's a lot that you don't see. I've seen women with bruises all over their bodies from doing a scene that they said it would be lightly aggressive, but it was abusive. And so, I mean, I've seen a lot.
Yeah. And I think that plays into the part of like how you said, like the editing part of like what women enjoy, you know, and sexually. And we're seeing a lot in society of like that has, especially like in adolescence, like and teens and going into young adult, it's like the domestic abuse part, sexually, and the things that they've seen in porn as a thing that like we normalize for women, right? You know, as like, oh, it's not painful, like that's what you should do, like the choking, like just to name a few, like it's like,
yeah,
the
exactly.
Things that people do that it's like, oh, that's normal. You know, I personally didn't watch porn, and I watched soft porn, the stuff that they put on TV that's rated R,
yeah,
you know, where you see the things, which is playing a part into that whole culture of being very sexual. And so all that to say that I know there are some women that have seen it, that have experienced, and maybe with what you're sharing, it's like that shows that it's like there's these unrealistic expectations or these unrealistic things that we see on porn. Being in the industry, like you prove that to be true. And so what is something that you have seen with kind of like in society with porn, you know, like the addiction that comes from that, now being married, you know, like does that kind of go away? Like, does it make it like, how has that experience been for you?
So what is devastating about the porn industry, and you can look at like our cultural history over the years, we see Marilyn Monroe when she posed in her bathing suit many years ago. And that was like the most risqueest thing that we'd ever seen. Like, what? She's in a one-piece bathing suit. That is awful. Like, I can't put some clothes on this woman. And then it progressively got worse to like Playboy, and now there's toys and fully nude. And then it went to videos like softcore, but then it got hardcore. And then it was always these like morally acceptable scenes. And then it just started to progress and get worse and worse, where now there's gangbangs and rapes like being played out in porn movies. And there's two things here. Number one is that the porn industry's job is to push the limits, right? Mm-hmm. But also, because they continue to push the limits, the consumer, because porn is like a drug, the consumer is no longer filled by morally acceptable scenes. And when I say morally acceptable, I'm talking about a husband and a wife. I don't think that porn is moral under any circumstances, but I'm talking about maybe people that are watching porn. They're like, well, I was just watching a husband and wife, and now all of a sudden I'm watching like foot fetish and all these things. It's like it gets progressively worse, because porn, what it does is it releases the same type of dopamine as like a cocaine does, right? And so if anybody's done cocaine, you know that, or if you've been addicted to cocaine, you know that you're always chasing after that very first high. You'll never get the first high again. It just doesn't happen. Same thing with porn. You're watching it and it fills you. And then all of a sudden you're like, eh, this is boring. Why? Because it's not releasing enough dopamine. So now you start watching things that are a little darker and darker and darker. And what really saddened me was that when I looked up the Pornhub, like most popular scenes at the beginning of this year, every January they release it. And one of the most popular scenes was transsexual scenes. Why? Only less than probably 5% of the population is transsexual. So why is that the most popular scene? Because the aggressive scenes aren't filling people anymore. The gay scenes aren't filling people anymore. Like, people are getting darker and darker and darker into the world of pornography. And until we can take a step back and like really vote with our views by not watching it, porn is going to continue to push the limits. And it's like, what's next? How much further can they go? And how much further, people that have gotten that dark, can they go? I saw a really sad documentary of a guy who was addicted to pornography. And when he was found, when they found by the time they found his computer, he had like 6,000 images of children. And he did a documentary opening up about it, saying, I was never attracted to children, but I was watching the young girl and the old man, and then it just didn't fill me anymore. And that's no excuse, but that's what it did to him psychologically. And so porn is a dangerous gateway. And maybe you're just watching morally acceptable scenes right now and you're planning on getting married. And I hear this a lot in the church. I'm watching this so that I won't have sex with my partner. But Jesus said that if you even look at a woman lustfully in your heart, right? It starts in the heart. Like, you're not pure, and I'm not being mean, but we're not pure if we're watching porn so we don't have sex. It's a heart issue. It's not, you're looking at purity as a physical issue, but it's a heart issue. And that's why my husband and I are so big on ministering on the heart, because it's not about what you do externally or what you don't do. It's not about keeping the law. It's about an intimate relationship with Jesus, and only he can empower you to walk in purity. And it's a heart thing. So yeah, you might be watching those scenes now, and then, you know, you're going to get married, so you plan on not watching it anymore. But what happens one night, you know, after maybe your wife's just given birth, and for 8 weeks, she can't have sex with you. And maybe more than 8 weeks. 8 weeks is like what the doctors say, but maybe it's 12 weeks. Maybe it's 16 weeks. What are you going to do? You're going to probably go back and watch porn, you know? And so marriage does not fix a porn issue, because again, it's not the external that fixes the porn issue. It's the heart that fixes the porn issue. So you have to get to a place where your heart is broken over the performers that are performing, and that you want no part in dabbling into their brokenness. You want no part in victimizing victims, right? By watching pornography.
Wow, you said so many things that I want to like touch on, because first you said about the type of porn that people are watching. And I know that, you know, there's been proven facts and kind of like stats saying that that also fuels the human trafficking industry. You know, when if consumers of porn, like what they're watching, then it leads to other things, then it leads to in-person prostitutes, going for children, you know, all of that. Like, it's kind of like, it's not enough just to watch, then it's like other facts, and things that people turn to, you know? And so, that is something that when we think about what people are watching, it's like that need of like a human, really, it's like, it's never enough. It's like going to the next thing and like wanting to get that fill. And then the second part that you said about marriage, which I hear it because I'm single, and I know when that has been like a big debate of couples that do, even in the church, like couples that do watch porn together, right? Because that helps them to figure out their sexuality together, gives them ideas. Maybe they waited for marriage to have sex, so they don't know like all the positions, you know, all the things. I'm just being so real. Like, this is the kind of stuff that you hear. And then the other part is of not having sex before marriage, but you want to, you know, use that as an outlet, but then you'll stop. Like, it's just right now, but then you'll stop. And so have you seen the effects of like couples kind of in that, like, because there are couples that believe that that is something that within, you know, their marriage, that is just a tool. It's not as cheating. And then the other part of actually how that plays out. And I know you talk a lot about that. So how has that looked like, and what are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so you can think, if both of you are in agreement and you think that it's not cheating, like, what does Jesus have to say about it? Jesus says, if you look at a woman lustfully in your heart, you've already committed adultery. And so Jesus is trying to really challenge our thinking that, hey, you might think that it's just the physical act of sex that means that you're cheating on your partner. But if you're even looking at somebody else lustfully, you're cheating on your partner. He even says that if you think of murder in your heart, it is murder, right? Because the heart leads your life. Now, I know plenty of people who watch pornography and they will argue the same exact thing. Oh, and it helps our marriage. Okay, but let's really look at, like, you think that porn is safeguarding your marriage. It's protecting you. You know, you're learning new things. But because it is like a drug, you might think, oh, it's going to prevent me from committing adultery. But actually, everybody that I've spoken to over the last several years, my husband and I have spoken to pastors who have fallen. We've spoken to other people that are in our lives that have fallen because of adultery. And it all starts with porn. It all starts with porn, because eventually it will get to a place where it will no longer fill you. Don't be foolish. Like, especially Christians, don't be foolish. Don't follow the ways of the world. We are supposed to be different than the world. The world is providing pornography. Why do you want any part in that? If you saved yourself till marriage and you are a virgin, go explore your partner. Have fun. Be awkward. Try awkward positions that make no sense. That's part of the fun. You know what I mean? Like, that's the innocence and the purity where you guys can laugh and be like, well, that position didn't work. You don't need porn to teach you how to have sex. You have one another. You guys can just, you can do what you will. Like, explore positions. If it doesn't work, laugh about it and try something else. You're free in your marriage, but don't bring porn in, because porn is not going to forever. If you think it's helping you now, it will not forever help. And I say that in air quotes if people are just listening, because I don't agree that porn is helping your marriage, but eventually you're going to see it come to ruin. Eventually your pride of, oh, I can watch porn. The Bible says that pride comes before destruction. It's a sin if you want to, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. And in our pride, we can say, well, it's fine for us. No, it's not. Sin is a destroyer. Pride will come to ruins. It will bring your marriage to ruins. I see it happen all the time. Like, our emails are flooded with people. It's why we're going to be starting online connect groups very soon from Love Always Ministries, because our boxes are flooded with husbands and wives that are struggling because of pornography. It's not helping your marriage. I don't agree.
Yeah, no. And this is, again, not to shame anybody if that's the way that someone has seen or is doing their life. But I definitely feel like, because sex, like sexuality in this world, is pushed on us from such a young age, it's like something that we start being like, well, we're sexual humans. And like, then like we start kind of exploring that in a way, especially if you went through purity culture, then it's like, you also have this other narrative that is on top of that, you know? And so we're never taught how to navigate first our sexuality. Yeah. And also then, what does God say that is still his word, even as society changes and it gets worse and it gets complicated and it gets harder, you know? So how you touched on that, that's so true. It's like, it doesn't just end there, you know? And so for someone, because I know I have a lot of female listeners that do struggle with watching porn, and they do, I think that it is a bigger issue than just the watching of it, because we all want connection and we all want intimacy and, you know, all of that. Can you talk a little bit about maybe for someone that is struggling with that, and, you know, they know maybe it's quote unquote bad, but they're like, the back and forth, like, what do you suggest for someone?
Yeah, if you are struggling with pornography and you want help, there is help available. I think that the number one issue with people that are struggling with porn is that we allow sin to become a separator. We allow it to disconnect us from God. And so my first advice to you is, you got to get into the presence of the Lord. Like, you don't like go into worship and prayer and reading the Bible and feeling the presence of God, and then you get out and you're like, now I want to go watch porn. Like, no, you're fired up. You're excited. You've been encouraged. You've been inspired by the presence of the Lord. You might want to just go out and change the whole world for Jesus, but like, you don't want to just go and sin, right? As you're in the presence of the Lord, like, he just does something to your soul. He heals your soul. He restores your soul. He renews your mind in his presence, to where all of a sudden your desires change. Psalm 37:4 says, if you take delight in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. So what that looks like is, as you're delighting in him, all of a sudden your desires change. For example, I started delighting in the Lord, and I was once a cigarette smoker. One day I just said, I don't want to smoke cigarettes anymore. This is like 12 years ago. Like, I just put them down. I was delighting in the Lord. God told me, flush your drugs down the toilet. Okay, I'll flush my drugs down the, like, it's like my desires were just changing, where it wasn't something done in my own strength. We're like, oh, I have to do this. Like, no, I actually really wanted to do this. So you'll be in the presence of the Lord, and there'll come a day where God will just say, daughter, you don't need to watch porn anymore. I love you so much. You're so valuable. You're so worthy. We don't need to put that junk in you anymore. Like, you're going to have a wonderful relationship one day. I'm going to take you there. I'm going to bless you. And you're going to feel all this encouragement where you're just going to be like, you're right, God. I don't want to watch this anymore. And it's not going to be done in your own strength. It's done with the help of the Lord. So that's the biggest tool. You got to grow in your relationship with the Lord. If you feel like it's a stronghold over your life, go on a fast. You can, some things don't break off, but through prayer and fasting. I'm a firm believer in fasting during hard seasons, because I've seen things break off of me so quickly when I fasted. And that was in my beginning walk with the Lord. I was fasting almost monthly. And then on our website, lovealwaysministries.com, if you want access to our course, we have that available. We have a course just for women. I'm one of the teachers on there. And then my dear friend, Yam Alexis, she struggled with porn addiction for 16 years. She was sexually abused as a child, and that's what led to that. But God set her free, and she's a wonderful woman of God and doing great things for God. And she's one of the teachers on that course as well. We have our book, Stop Searching, Start Living. It's 40-day devotional to help you overcome lust, porn, and to walk in purity. And our book, A Call to Purity. And despite what you might think, Call to Purity, it is really a heart book. We're not the purity culture, no sex, no this, no that. No, like, we want to help your heart get right. And we want to bring you wisdom and revelation to help your heart be right before the Lord, because your heart is what determines your life.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, it's always like deeper, I feel like, when it comes to any, even if it's not with just sexual addiction, it's like there's always that longing that we have to fill with something, and we all have that, you know. And if it's not with it, it always leads to something away from God, but sin takes us farther from God, you know. And so in those moments that maybe someone feels the shame or feels like, God, you know that I'm trying, but I fell again, you know, it's like that hope and that renewal to still seek him regardless in those moments, you know, when you do fail, because we are going to fail, you know? So I know you talk a lot also about purity within marriage. Can you share a little bit about what that looks like?
So every day, my husband and I, we are diligent about spending time with the Lord. He's up at like 5 a.m., sometimes 4:30. And his first thing is he gets his coffee. He spends time with the Lord. Me, I get up a little later because I'm a nursing mom and I wake up throughout the night to nurse my baby. So I'm up a little later, but, and I make my tea and then I go and I spend time with the Lord as well. And that's like, we're very intentional about our time with God. We are intentional about talking about the Lord. We try to cultivate an atmosphere in our household where we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about how he's ministering to us, what we're seeing him do in our lives and other people's lives, because we want to create an atmosphere where that is the culture of our home. Like, we talk about Jesus here. And so we do that with our children. We read them their devotionals. And like this morning, I was trying to get ready for the podcast. My daughter's like, Mom, you didn't read me my Bible. I'm like, oh, let me run downstairs and read you my Bible. So we want it to be a habit that we love and we enjoy in this household. And so when your heart is pure, this is what we've said. I've said this a couple times. When your heart is pure, your actions will be pure. And then as far as like within our marriage, like, disputes come up, you know, but we're quick to forgive. We don't hold on to anything. That's a purity issue, right? If we hold on to offenses, it hardens our heart. If we go days and weeks without praying, it hardens our heart. There's something about communicating with God that keeps your heart soft. And so if you're married and you know, you're holding on to things, you have to like stay in prayer, like, not even like, just pray for whatever. You could be praying for your mom, your dad, your sisters, but it's like, whatever you're praying for, it keeps your heart attuned with the Lord, and it keeps your heart soft, so that when things do come up in your marriage, it's like, okay, I can forgive you. I love you. You know, as far as like with sexual purity, I mean, we're not bringing porn or anything like that into our marriage. We do believe in enjoying your sex life. We are not, I don't know, I wasn't around for purity culture, but I've heard some pretty interesting things about, you know, pastors telling you what you can and can't do in your marriage bed. That is your marriage bed. don't bring pornography into your bed because that's biblical. Jesus says, if you look at somebody lustfully, you're committing adultery. So don't do that, but enjoy your sex life. Like, you're free, you know? And you're free to do what you will. As long as you and your partner are in agreement, then there should be no issues there.
Yeah, no, thank you for sharing that, because I know that some people, like, within, you know, have been taught, and I know you didn't experience that, but I would say that that messaging does kind of change the way that you see it as going into it. Like, you're already kind of thinking like it's bad, even though God created sex and God created it, you know, for you and your marriage. So what are some last thoughts or encouragement for someone that you know, is living, maybe is struggling or wants to kind of continue in their walk of healing, you know, through their, you know, sexual, the things that they've seen, things that they're trying to kind of overcome, that we've talked about today?
Yeah. I would say really renewing your mind. I've had people ask me if I had to deal with any maybe like trauma coming into marriage around sex because of all that I've experienced. And only God can restore your mind to purity and innocence. And that's what God did for me. I took a year off of dating when I first became a Christian, and I was just seeking God daily, prayer, worship, reading the Bible, listening to sermons. I didn't have social media. I didn't have any distractions. I wasn't dating anybody, so I wasn't distracted by any men. Like, it was literally just me and Jesus. And he really renewed my mind and restored it to a place where I remember when somebody like asked me, oh, you're getting married. Are you nervous? Or how are you feeling? I was like, girl, I'm so nervous. I feel like I've never had sex before, because God had restored my innocence and my purity. And I was like, I don't even like, and that's what God does. Like, when you just keep spending time in his presence, he will heal your mind. And now it's like, if I want to sit and think about everything I've done and all my sexual experiences, I can make myself go there. But why? Those things are way, way back. Cause it's like, God can't, like, I mean, he could, but God doesn't usually just erase and wipe everything away, but he makes it so far back that you actually have to sit and go, let me think about that one time that I saw this one scene. And it's like, you have to be so, but why would you want to be intentional about thinking about your past? Leave it in the past, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, God will restore your innocence and your purity, so much so that, like, it just feels like you never even watched porn. Or for me, that I have to go, like, sometimes I sit back and think, I can't believe I was in porn. Like, I don't even feel like I was ever in porn, right? Mm-hmm. But it's because that's the restoration of Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing part of your story. I know it's just a little part, but I definitely wanted you to come on and share, because I know that you and your husband do amazing work. And for someone that does need help, you know, and wants to kind of hear the other side, I feel like it's great, because like we hear this messaging of don't do it, or like, don't watch, but it's like hearing from your story, it's like that is empowering to someone and can kind of give someone that perspective.
Thank you. And thank you for just using your space and your platform to really share on this issue. That's one thing that I hear often is like, especially with women, that they sometimes feel like in the church that when it is talked about, it's talked about as though it's just a man's issue. But, you know, statistics show otherwise. Like, there's at least 33% of women in church that are struggling with pornography. So thank you for using your platform to just bring truth and love and grace to women that might be struggling, so that they can find freedom too.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And how can people connect with you if they want to hear more about you, your podcast, and everything?
Yeah. So on our website, lovealwaysministries.com, we have all of our information there. And then all of my social medias are under Brittany Dellamora. And then our podcast is on YouTube, Spotify, all the podcast platforms. And it's called Let's Talk Purity. And it is, we've got like 100, I think almost 200 episodes on there now, I think.
Wow.
Be wrong, but
wow, yes,
here, so you guys can just dive in. Don't do a Netflix and chill this Friday. Do a Let's Talk Purity and chill night.
Yes, I love it. No, I think I think it's definitely good to normalize these kind of conversations, because we all can have those questions or struggles and all of that, especially with sex. I feel like the enemy uses that to keep us bound as like something that is hidden. It's in the secret. But having these conversations with people around you, with your spouse, with your partner, it's like, that's important, you know, and having that community, you know, to keep you accountable as well within that. So thank you so much for sharing. And I hope that it encouraged someone today, that there is hope, but it's also remembering the tools that you need with the foundation of Christ as in within our hearts, and knowing that there is help, you know, out there as well, if you are struggling. So make sure to share this with a friend, make sure to follow Brittany, and I will post all the information down below, and I'll see you guys next week.